ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ.
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19. The chapter is titled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, text number 9.
Tapatrena abhidasya gore Tapatrena abhidasya gore ಸಂದಪ್ಯಮಾನಸ್ಯ ಭವಾಧ್ವನೀಶಾ ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ನಾನ್ಯ ಚರಣಂ ತವಾಂಘ್ರಿ ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ನಾನ್ಯ ಚರಣಂ ತವಾಂಘ್ರಿ ದ್ವಂದಾದಪತ್ರಾದಮೃದಾಭಿವರ್ಷಾತ್ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೇನಾಭಿಹಿತಸ್ಯ ಘೋರೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೇನಾಭಿಹಿತಸ್ಯ ಘೋರೇ ಸಂದಪ್ಯಮಾನಸ್ಯ ಭವಾಧ್ವನೀಶಾ ಸಂದಪ್ಯಮಾನಸ್ಯ ಭವಾಧ್ವನೀಶಾ ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ನಾನ್ಯ ಚರಣಂ ತವಾಂಘ್ರಿ ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ನಾನ್ಯ ಚರಣಂ ತವಾಂಘ್ರಿ ದ್ವಂದಾದಪತ್ರಾದಮೃದಾಭಿವರ್ಷಾತ್ ತಾಪತ್ರೇಣಾಭಿಹಿತಸ್ಯ ಘೋರೇ ಸಂದಪ್ಯಮಾನಸ್ಯ ಭವಾಧ್ವನೀಶಾ ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ನಾನ್ಯ ಚರಣಂ ತವಾಂಘ್ರಿ ದ್ವಂದಾದಪತ್ರಾದಮೃದಾಭಿವರ್ಷಾತ್.
ತಾಪ ಬೈ ದ ಮಿಸರೀಸ್ ತ್ರಯಣ ತ್ರೀ ಫೋಲ್ಡ್ ಅಭಿಹತಸ್ಯ ಆಫ್ ಒನ್ ಓವರ್ವೆಲ್ಮ್ ಘೋರೆ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಟೆರಬಲ್ ಸಂದಪ್ಯಮಾನಸ್ಯ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ಮೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಟಾರ್ಮೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಭವ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಅಧ್ವನಿ ಇನ್ ದ ಪಾತ್ ಈಶಾ ಓ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ಐ ಸಿ ನನ್ ಅನ್ಯತ್ ಅದರ್ ಶರಣಂ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ತವ ಯುವ ಅಂಘ್ರಿ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ದ್ವಂದ್ವ ಆಫ್ ದ ಟೂ ಆದಪತ್ರಾತ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ದ ಅಂಬರ್ಲಾ ಅಮೃತ ಆಫ್ ನೆಕ್ಟರ್ ಅಭಿವರ್ಷಾತ್ ದ ಶವರ್.
ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್.
ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಫಾರ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಟಾರ್ಮೆಂಟೆಡ್ on the terrible path of birth and death and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar.
The purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada.
Lord Krishna, recognizing Uddhava's highly intellectual nature, has repeatedly recommended to him that one should achieve perfection by cultivation of transcendental knowledge. But the Lord has also clearly demonstrated that such knowledge must bring one to the point of loving devotional service unto Him. For otherwise it is useless. In this verse, Sri Uddhava corroborates Lord Krishna's statement that the actual happiness is obtained.
ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सो दिस वर्स उद्धव इज एक्चुअली रिप्लाइंग टू कृष्ण. कृष्ण हैज गिवन द प्रोसेस ऑफ Gyan Yoga. He has given the process of developing transcendental knowledge. Krishna has given the Bhakti Yoga, that is developing loving devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. And after hearing all these things, Uddhava is actually expressing his concern for the people in this material world who are tormented by the material energy. So Abhidasya means it's overwhelmed. And Ghore means it is terrible. So the material world is terrible, and he is showing his compassion for the people of the material world. So if you try to understand what is this Abhidasya Ghore, the end of the purport, it was mentioned that the real good fortune is seeing and taking shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So when one is overwhelmed and bewildered by the material energy, how can one know what is good fortune? People usually misconstrue the meaning of good fortune. They can't understand what is real good fortune. People are short-sighted. Maya will not let us see further. That is one of the potency of Maya, the covering potency. Even though one wants to see the future, even though one wants to see what is going to happen to us, one cannot see. Because of Maya. Materialist people, if you see, the future, nothing is good. There is nothing good about the future, if you really think. Because the body is going to dwindle and die. That is the future. And whatever has been gained through hard work is going to lose. So, actually there is nothing good to look forward. Still, if you ask someone, everyone will say, I am very happy. If we go to a hospital, let's see our friend, and he's lying down, and maybe he's on traction, so the leg is up, he's lying there, and the whole situation is very bad. But if we ask, how are you? What will he say? Yeah, very good. Very wonderful situation. I wish, you know, you could also be in the same position. Very nice. Very nice position. So this is the covering. People, oh, no, everything is fine. It's the people are so conditioned that anything will go. Everything is fine. This is the unfortunate situation of the people of this world because of the covering of
Maya. One time, Pandavas were in the forest. They were in the Vanavasa. They were living in the forest. And they were actually tormented by thirst, one of the threefold miseries. And they wanted badly, they wanted to quench their thirst. They wanted to drink something. So, Yudhishthir, he was the elder brother, so he thought, I will send my brothers and get some water. And they knew, of course, there is a lake very near. So one person can go and they can first quench their thirst and bring some water for the rest of the people. So first he sent his youngest brother, that was Sahadev. He went, when he reached this beautiful lake, suddenly he heard a voice from the sky. And the voice asked, you cannot drink water from this lake unless and until you answer all my questions correctly. Sahadev said, no, I am so thirsty, I have to drink. So he drank without answering the questions. Immediately, he fell unconscious, dead, apparently. Then, he sent the next brother. He also met with the same. Then he sent Bhimasen. Bhimasen was so hungry and is a voracious eater, so he couldn't control at all. He also drank and he also lay unconscious. Then Arjun went. Arjun couldn't control his senses, interestingly enough, and he also lay unconscious. Finally, Dharmaraj himself, that is son of Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir Maharaj himself, he went. And the voice came and he started answering the questions one by one. It was not just one question, there were many questions. If you read actually Mahabharata, you can see one question after another. There are several questions, and to all these questions, Yudhishthir Maharaj answered perfectly. And then he allowed to drink the water. And one of the question was actually asked by Dharmaraj himself, who was Yudhishthir Maharaj's father. So one of the question was, what is the most amazing thing in this world? So the answer given by Yudhishthir Maharaj is very interesting. He said, Ahani ahani bhutani gachanti yamalayam. Shesha sthavara vichhanto kim aashcharyam atah paraha. So many people are going to the abode of Yamaraj. It means actually there is no real good fortune in this world. Even the one's own body, one's own relatives, partner, friends, everyone is going to finish. And they are seeing everything with their eyes. Still they think, it will not happen to me and I can live a very wonderful life, a happy life. So this is most amazing. This is most wonderful. So that was the opinion of Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Dharmaraj himself approved his answer. He said, yeah, that's right. So this is the nature. This is the covering of Maya. We can see the glory of Maya. How nicely it covers. It is said, we can cheat somebody sometime. We can cheat everyone maybe sometime. But we cannot cheat actually everyone all the time. It's not possible. They will find out at least one point. But Maya is such an expert that Maya can cheat everyone all the time. That is the expertise of Maya. That is the expertise of Krishna's energy. And with that, people are actually covered. And even if you see, the world has so much of stress. So stress is actually telling that the way of life people are leading is not proper. It's not natural. There is something wrong. So that is the nature's way of telling, giving the indication that what we are doing is not right, is by giving us stress. It's a way of telling us. It's an indication. Still, people do not learn. Still keep going. So when we see the Tapatraya, Tapatraya means the threefold miseries. In India, the cancer patients, many of them from the poor background, they don't have enough facilities for treatment. People are afflicted by cancer and they are in deep pain. It is really torturous. Still, there is no proper treatment. Because if somebody has got money, then it is a different story. But if not money, then one has to go through it with just pain I was talking to one of my friend, and you know, his relative had cancer and went to India for treatment, and he was telling in the normal hospital, in the government hospital, how the people are queuing up. They have cancer, it's a very serious illness, and at the same time there is no treatment because there is no money. Too many people there in the queue, just pain. So that we have to see that there is pain, there is threefold miseries, there is tapatraya in this world, and it is in front of us. Most of the people try to cover, undercover. It's like even though there is pain, you can't see so much of suffering directly in Australia compared to a third world country, because here things are undercover. Thank you. Here things are under the carpet, so people can't see. One time I was speaking to Tirthapath Prabhu. He was mentioning to me, he hasn't seen a dead body for many years. I was thinking, this is just it's just amazing for me, because I have seen dead bodies from my childhood. So many people dying. We go for the ceremony and the whole thing so many times. So far I haven't seen. One time he told me, maybe 1 year back or something. And I was thinking, oh, this is just, I can't imagine. So that is undercover. So the problems are there, but sometimes it is undercover. Still, it is there. Violence, it is there. I was speaking to one of my dad's colleague when I went to India, and I heard one horrible story. He was attached to a political party, and he was working for that for many, many years. And his political rivals, they actually attacked him so badly in front of hundreds of people in the market. Attacked so badly, he was beaten up completely, and iron rod was stuck in his mouth with full force. Such a terrible, I say, what is this? He was almost dead. Then, finally he was picked and taken to some hospital, and he was treated for months, Ayurvedic treatment, this, that, for ages. Then he got his life back. And he went to an astrologer, and the astrologer said, you are actually giving me a chart of a man who is already dead. And he said, no, I am that man, I am actually not dead. He said, yeah, you are, according to this, you are almost finished. You are done with your life. So this is the torture of this material world. Mm-hmm. We can see, it should be the reaction of karma. It is some reaction. But the torture one is going through in this cycle is just, it's just too much. It's overwhelming. As here it is said, abhitasya. Same. Another kind of tapatraya is that from the natural calamities. India has seen people committing suicide. Due to big monsoon, all the crops are gone, destroyed completely, and farmers are committing suicide. So in one way or the other, people are going through the tapatraya, going through the sufferings of material existence. Anyway, general mass of people, or those who have some education, those who have some wealth, they don't really seem to be aware of all these things, even though they can see pashyannapi na pashyati. Even though they are experienced, they are not ready to accept, they are not ready to see. People are just competing. From the kindergarten, people start competing, the kids start competing. It's very interesting. Even the parents want their children to be first in the class. I've seen cases where the parents are pushing their kids to study so hard, and the kids are carrying heavy load, weight. Already the back is bent. They don't have to wait till age of 40 or something to bend their back. As kids. And even I have seen some people, some kids, they have actually nice musical talents. They sing or they play some instruments. It's very nice. And there are these musical competitions. So I went to see a few competition in this competition, how they are performing. And there is one competition is happening among the kids, and there is another competition happening among the parents. And to the level that they are even ready to bribe the judges for singing. Maybe they are singing very badly, still they should be the first. So this is the competing. So the material world means competition. So whenever there is material desires, there is competition. And the job market, it is another competition. You might have heard this magazine, Competition Success, to train up people for competitive examinations, Competition Success. So it is there, the competition is there. But why people are competing? What's the reason? Because ultimately it is because one has the envy in the heart. One is envious of others. So whenever there is envy, then there is competition. As Bhagavad Gita says, Ichha Dvesha Samudhena Dvanda Mohena Bharata. So Ichha, one desire is that we don't want others to be in a higher position. And we want to take their position. And we are in this material world because of the same reason. So if we see competition here, we have to understand that is the reason we are here. It's not something, you know, aloof. No. That's the reason we are here in the material world. Because of that competition. And the root cause of that competition is envy. And since we were envious of Krishna, okay, we wanted to compete with Krishna, okay, then we have this facility here to compete. I was actually I was going through one of the corporate guy, his book, his advice to the young professionals. The title of the book was Go Kiss the World. It was by Subarto Bakshi, I think. Subarto Bakshi. He was the founder of Mindtree. It's one of the biggest, very big IT company in India. It's an Indian-based company. So this guy, he started his life in a very humble way. You know, from streets, he didn't have, you know, not much to eat. The parents were poor. And, you know, reading, you know, in the street, you know, with the street light, you know, the proper, you know, movie kind of story. And from there, he came up to the ladder and he became the co-founder of Mindtree. He became actually a millionaire. He became a very rich man. And his parents still, you know, the parents were not so concerned. So the whole book is Go Kiss the World, because the mother was blind, and when he approached his mother, the advice of his mother was, you don't have to come and look after me, you go and gain more. Go kiss the world. That was the mother's advice to him. And he became so inspired. Yes, I had to become extraordinary. I had to build more money, and I had to become more famous, and I had to, you know, teach this to everyone else. So that was his advice. And then he wrote this book, you know, okay, to inspire all the young professionals, don't just go in the normal path, do something big in the corporate life. Do something big so that you can be famous, you can be rich, and you can be different. So he's addressing. How does it make sense? Actually, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because everything is going to end. Where is the substance? What's the use of competition? And in this competition, is it the good fortune? Even though people think that is the good fortune, being wealthy, being the co-founder, he's thinking, I am very good fortune. I am very fortunate. But is it real good fortune? It is not. So the devotees are actually nirmat saranam satam. Devotees are not competitive, not in the other sense, not in the negative sense, but they are nirmat sara. They don't want to compete on the material basis. They are not envious. They are pure hearted. So that is the nature of the devotees. So, if we see this conversation between Uddhava and Krishna, Uddhava is actually expressing his heart to Krishna, and he is actually showing his compassion for all the people who are tormenting in this material world. So if you see the two lines of this verse, it is tapatrayana apihitasya khore santapya manasya bhavadhvanisha. So this is actually representing the people are overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, and people are suffering. So this is the nature of a devotee. Even though Uddhava, he is a pure devotee, he is in front of the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is not asking for anything material benefit or anything for himself. If we are in front of somebody who can give anything and everything, what will come? The mind will come, okay, maybe I should ask this, maybe I need an iPhone, maybe an iPad, you know, something can come. But here the Supreme Lord is present, and Uddhava is present in front of him, and he is telling about the compassion. He is showing compassion for all the other people who are actually suffering in this world. If we analyze our mind, we are chanting holy name. Holy name means it's known different from Krishna. Still, when the holy name, when we chant and when we hear, what we think? We may think, oh, maybe I had a nice iPad, then it is wonderful. Maybe I don't have an iPhone. Maybe I need this. Or maybe I did that wrong. You know, we are thinking so many things. So it means even the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, is present, but in front of Krishna, we are actually putting forward our agenda than Himself. So this is our consciousness, or at least my consciousness. Now, if you think about Uddhava, he is such an elevated soul, because he is showing the direct compassion for the living entities. Same we can see Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he was right in front of Narasimhadev. So one of his prayers he said, Maya Sukhaya Bharam Uddhato Vimudhan. That is, my concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So this is the nature of a true devotee. He has so much of compassion. So even when they approach the Supreme Lord, still they are actually showing their compassion for the living beings. Same, if you see Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of Krishna, it is, of course, it is Saptada Samhita. It is meant for the devotees. It is Paramahamsyam. That is, it is meant for the pure devotees, and it is relished by the devotees who are pure in their heart. However, at the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam is Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Kukyam Yam Vyasa Sunum Upayami Guru Muninam. That is, this Srimad Bhagavatam is written to show compassion for the Samsarinam, for the materialistic people, those who are suffering. So it's actually for all of us, because we are suffering in this material world, and Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a literary incarnation of Krishna, is present to help all of us. Now, if we ask ourselves, so we have to understand, we are in a fortunate position, because we know about Krishna, we have some understanding about the devotional service, we have some experience of the devotional service. So are we really ready to show this compassion for others? So that is actually the question for all of us. We have to ask ourselves, are we trying to help others in one way or the other to give this Krishna consciousness? Because otherwise, we are not actually elevating ourselves. Because it's the nature of a Madhyam Bhakta, that is, he is ready to show compassion for others. We are not in a mission where we are paid for preaching. There is Christian missionaries, I have seen. They are actually paid nicely. If they go and convert from some other religion to Christianity, they are given money. According to per head payment is there. It's like, you know, commission. If you go to Optus marketing, if you sell something, you get some commission out of it. In the same way, if you convert one person, then there is commission. It is there. But are we paid for anything? No. So, for the sustainable preaching, actually we have to have compassion. If we had to sustain our preaching mission, then there has to be compassion. Otherwise, it is not possible to continue preaching. It won't work. Because our actual commission is the reciprocation from the Supreme Lord. That is paid here, within the heart, not externally. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he is most dear to the people who are ready to give this message to others. So if we actually follow that order, then we can see Krishna is being merciful to us. Krishna shows his compassion to us. So in that way, we can make spiritual progress. Especially with regard to preaching, you know, in my little experience, you know, it is easy to even to organize a program, to have a, you know, a retreat, or, you know, a big Maharaj is coming, okay, we organize a big preaching. Oh yeah, that is okay. That is, people have strength, or in other words, people have some passion. People are, you know, ready to maybe distribute flyers, to promote, to do this thing and that thing. It's fine. So people are getting benefited, of course. But after that, to maintain that, so Maharaj is here, it's gone. Now, the rest of the period, we have to actually follow up with them. We have to actually, you know, spend some time with them. We have to hear their problems. And for that, one needs actually compassion. It's not very easy. It's a real challenge, I would say, in preaching. To be in touch with people and, you know, keep that relationship going and give that association constantly, that is the hardest part, at least in my experience. So, if there is a big thing, people are passionate, it's coming. And maintenance means it's pretty much in goodness, in which we struggle, literally.
So here, Uddhava, Sri Uddhava is saying, what is the solution? So he presented the problem, the tapatraya, how people are bewildered and overwhelmed by the threefold miseries. Now, Uddhava is giving the solution. He's saying, Pashyami na anya charanam tavankri. Pashyami na anya. I am not seeing anything else than tava ankri, than your lotus feet, as charanam, as shelter. So, Uddhava is telling, the real shelter is only your lotus feet. Because it can actually destroy the tapatraya. It is tapatrayon mulanam. It can actually remove the threefold miseries completely. That is on the negative side. You know, it's not the positive side, negative side. That is, which can destroy all the miseries. Of course, it can do. It is said in Bhagavatam, in the same 11th canto, Syanna stavankri ashubhasya dhumaketu. That is, your lotus feet is just like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the inauspicious desires of material sense gratification. So it's very interesting, because if we take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, then it can actually remove all the desires. It can burn all the desires just with the blazing fire. So that's very interesting. So on one side, it can actually remove all the tapatraya, which is the heat. Tapa means heat. Traya means threefold miseries. And on the other side, it can actually burn all the material desires within our heart. Not only that, it is said in Bhagavatam that the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can destroy the whole cycle of material birth and death. The samsara can be at once stopped by, if we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, by mercy of the Supreme Lord, the samsara, the cycle of repeated birth and death, can be at once stopped. In King Kulashekhara, in his prayers, that is in the Sri Mukundamala Stotra, in the first verse it is said, Sri Vallabhedi Varadedi Dayaparedi Bhakta Priyeti Bhava Lundhana Kovideti. So it's actually glorifying Krishna with different names. Sri Vallabha, who is the husband, beloved of Sri, that is Lakshmi Devi. Sri Vallabha, Varadevi, one who is ready to give all the benedictions. Dayaparedi is the most, Dayapar is the most merciful. Bhakta Priyeti, who is most dear to his devotees. Bhakta Varsala, Bhakta Priyeti. And then Bhava Lundhana Kovideti. He has an expertise. Kovidam is an expert. And his expertise is that bhavaluntana, he can actually immediately break the cycle of repeated birth and death. So that is the expertise of Krishna. So Kunti Devi says in her prayers about this, about the lotus feet of Krishna, she mentions, Shrinandi gayandi ghranandi apikshanacha smarandi nandandi tavehitam janaha taeva pasyatyachirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. So she says, the glory of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord is that bhava pravaha, the cycle of repeated birth and death, uparamam, that will cause the cessation. That is the glory of your lotus feet. There, Kundidevi is also right in front of Lord Krishna. So in front of Krishna, she is mentioning, the people are suffering, and at once, that suffering can be removed by the mercy of your lotus feet. Now, if you try to understand what is meant by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, naturally it means placing the instructions of one's own spiritual master. By actually placing one's own spiritual master, then Krishna is pleased. Because the lotus feet represent mercy as well as shelter. So taking shelter means following the instruction. And we are getting the instructions right from the spiritual master. So if we follow that, then actually we are taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Otherwise, not. And here in this verse, on the other side it is mentioned, Amrtabha Varshat, means the pour down of nectar. So it is not enough that the lotus feet of Krishna, it can actually remove the cycle of birth and death. It can remove the material desires from our heart. It can remove the tapatraya. Apart from that, on the positive side, it is amrtabhivarsha. It can actually downpour the nectar. So that is the positive side of it.
it is given, Prithu Maharaj, so I think the commentary gives, Prithu Maharaj, for instance, when he was awarded, he was gifted with so many things. One of the gift was an umbrella, Atapatra, means umbrella. And that umbrella was actually pouring cool, nice water. It was praying water. That was the speciality of Prithu Maharaj's umbrella. It was, I think it was given by Varuna. I think it's given in the purport. It's given by Varuna, I think. So, there is such umbrella. we may not have seen, but there is some cooling umbrella. And this is compared to an umbrella which is actually pours nectar. So that is the positive side. So it is said in the 11th canto, very interesting statement regarding the lotus feet of Krishna. It is said, how can the fire of material suffering continue to burn the hearts of those who worship the Supreme Lord? Such a question. The Lord's lotus feet have performed innumerable heroic deeds, and the beautiful nails on his toes resemble valuable jewels. The effulgence emanating from those nails resembles cooling moonshine, for it instantly relieves the suffering within the heart of the pure devotee. Just as the appearance of the moon's cooling light relieves the burning heat of the sun. So this is given in the 11th canto, glorifying the lotus feet of Krishna. Now Kunti Devi says in her prayers, that is, Krishna's lotus feet is compared to just like that of a lotus flower. It is very, very beautiful. It is said, Vrindavan is the most beautiful place. It's the most beautiful place. Srila Prabhupada always says in the Krishna book, when you hear, when they read about Vrindavan, where such a wonderful description about Vrindavan is given. And even the Shada Goswami Ashtagam, there is a glorification of Vrindavan. Very nicely given. Kujat Kokila Hamsa Sarasa Ganakirne Mayurakule Nana Ratna Nibadha Mula Vitapa Sri Yukta Vrindavane. That is Sri Yukta Vrindavane. Sri Yukta Vrindavan means Sri represents opulence in one sense. Here Sri also represents the beauty. So the Vrindavan is the most beautiful place. And it has so many different of kind of valuable jewels. The peacocks are there, and so many beautiful trees which are kalpavrikshas. So this is the beauty of Vrindavan. There are so many wonderful things in Vrindavan. But it is said, when Krishna walks in the forest of Vrindavan, actually the beauty of the Vrindavan is increasing further. Why? Because as Krishna places his lotus feet, as he passes on his impressions from his lotus feet, it is actually creating nice impressions of conch shell, barley corn, elephant god. These impressions are so beautiful. And this is actually making Vrindavan even more beautiful. So it is said, Vrindaranyam Sopadaramanam Pravishat Gita Girti. Vrindaranyam, the forest of Vrindavan, is Sopadaramanam. It is even enchanting by the lotus feet of Krishna. So when Krishna appeared in this world, or not even just before appearing this world, when he was in the womb of Devaki, all the demigods, they came together and they started glorifying Krishna. So in one of the glorification, the demigods are saying, they're saying, we are actually very, very good fortunate. So they are saying, we are very good fortunate. The reason is, indeed, we are certainly fortunate, for we shall be able to see upon this earth and in the heavenly planet the marks of lotus feet, conch shell, club and disc that adorn your lotus feet. So Dishtya means the good fortune. So as the purport says, the real good fortune is actually coming from the lotus feet of Krishna. So here Uddhava is directing all the devotees, actually it's directing all the devotees to show compassion for all the suffering souls, such that one can actually come to the real good fortune, which is the lotus feet of Krishna. So I stop here. See if there are any comment, questions or corrections. Yes,
When we're chanting, when we're doing service, we think about ourselves, if you think about the future patient, you like to do the service, it's something about yourself. But how do you turn your focus onto Krishna or the spiritual master or the leaders instead of trying to please them, instead of trying to please yourself?
Okay. On one side, thinking of one's own purification, it can be a motivation to do service, which is good. There's no harm in it. On the other side, while doing service, first focus should be to do the service properly. So we have to be focused on what we are doing. So that is the first thing. So the next thing is when one actually becomes expert in one's service. It means one can perform the service nicely, and one can improve the service. At the same time, one may be able to think about Krishna. And on the other side, if we have rightly in the mind, if we are doing the service for Krishna, if we develop that consciousness, then while doing, actually that thought comes, I am doing it for Krishna. But on the first step, as you said, one has to think, okay, maybe I am doing for my purification, I will just do it anyway, if that is out of duty. But when we keep doing that, then actually the attitude changes. Then that is also helped by proper chanting. So if we have attentive chanting, then our consciousness naturally, if we have proper 16 rounds, naturally our consciousness, we can think about Krishna. It is possible if we have attentive rounds. So with that consciousness, if we do service, then naturally one can think about Krishna. So the sadhana and the service are very much connected. On the other side, that is, if we the whole day, whole night, we are in completely material consciousness, you know, thinking about this, buying this, doing this. If we are completely covered fully, and if we sit and chant, when we about to chant, when we hear the holy name, the thoughts coming to our mind, definitely it is going to be material. It's not that when we sit and chant immediately, you know, that everything is changed and, you know, suddenly we are getting absorbed in the holy name and the thoughts about Krishna are going. No. So what we do the whole day, it reflects on our chanting. And at the same time, our chanting reflects on the whole day. You see, so both the service and chanting are very much interrelated. It's very much connected. So we have to be mindful of both the aspects. Then it will be fine. That's my understanding. Yes, Rupa. It's a very, very nice comment, because in that prayer, Namo Pankajanabhaya, Namo Pankajamalne, Namo Pankajanetraya, Namo Pankajankhreye, it is Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that actually Kunti Devi, ideally she wants to look at the lotus feet of Krishna, but she couldn't first look at the lotus feet of Krishna being the ant. So in the prayer, she offers prayer first to the navel, and then she goes down to the lotus feet, and then goes to the lotus face of the Lord. It's a very nice point. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Most of us came to Krishna consciousness out of distress or
something
else. Yes. Really, material things.
True, yeah.
The aspect of compassion is almost not there.
Okay, the beginning of compassion, especially in terms of preaching, it starts from doing preaching as a matter of duty. As Prabhupada said, you know, that is the sadhana bhakti, the guiding principle of sadhana bhakti. If the rules and regulations are there, we follow. So in the same way, if you have no interest in preaching, so take it as a duty and preach. And then the compassion will come eventually. When we do it in the right consciousness, we can definitely see the reciprocation from the Lord, and that will inspire us to do more service in terms of preaching, and then we can start to develop compassion. So if you have to actually come to the Madhyama platform, the intermediate devotee platform, one has to develop compassion. So it's starting from duties, then the compassion can come in later. But if you don't do dutifully because I'm not feeling any compassion, then there won't be any preaching. Definitely there won't be any book distribution, there won't be any cultivation. One may not be motivated, one may not be feeling compassion, but at least as a duty. Yeah, sadhana is very important. If you are preaching, doesn't mean that the rounds we are finishing at 10 o'clock in the night and stuck with this and that. No, chanting has to be, the sadhana has to be proper. We should have time for proper chanting and some time for reading. That is essential. Otherwise, what are we going to preach? We will be affected. If you are not happy, we won't preach properly. If ourselves we are tormented completely, as in the two lines of the first verse saying, we are overwhelmed and tormented, then what kind of preaching can we do? So we have to be properly situated in Krishna consciousness, for which nice chanting is essential. So if we nicely chant holy names, then we will have the strength. Then we can speak others, tell others to chant properly. Otherwise, we can't. So, yeah. One has to be mindful about one's own sadhana. It's like, if due to late nights, if our sadhana, if our chanting is affecting, personally speaking, if it's affecting, then one should seriously consider how many late nights we can afford a week. And if it's not affected, then it's okay. But if it's affected, one should think. Because one has to think about the future. How can we maintain our Krishna consciousness while preaching? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.